is Jordan Heimberger from School of Rock, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast is kind of like a—it's like a radio show that's not on the radio; it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This is episode 70. And I want to tell you guys, I remind you that the one-year anniversary brunch over at Steve's Hot Dogs is June 7th, Sunday morning, 11 to 5 p.m. And then it's going to feature performances from Zach Michael, Dimmer Wade Trent, Sky Burnt White, Apollo's Daughter, Steve Ewing Duo, and Cortland Zelli, who all have been on the show. And then also is going to have Connor Lau and Race, who Connor's been on the show. I haven't met Race yet to have on the show. But anyway, but Connor is a student of the School of Rock, and that's where I'm at tonight.
Woohoo!
I'm hanging out here at School of Rock in Baldwin. And I'm hanging out with Jordan. And welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to be doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thanks for coming to the school. I hope you like what you see.
Yeah, this is a couple weeks ago. Funny story, actually, if anybody was listening, they heard it from over there. But now you're hearing it from here. I was sitting over there at Breadco.
Oh, okay.
With John Pizzoni from The Urge.
Yeah, and he's done some stuff with us, too.
Yeah. I think we did like a drum solo class or something like that.
And yeah, which was great.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm hanging out with John. We did a nice chat over there. I forget the boy's name now, but I'd met him at the old Rock House when School of Rock opened up for Funky Butt show. And so I said hey to him, and he's one of the that sang in that show.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, he was crossing across the parking lot. Actually, I was talking to him at inside Breadco at first, and I said hey man, I remember you from the show the other night, and it was really good. And he's like, thanks. And so anyway, he finished up grabbing his sandwich or whatever, drink or whatever it was, and he's walking back over here to the school, and he goes, "See you later, Shane."
Nice.
And Chris and John, they didn't hear the conversation, so they're like, "Who's that?" Like somebody just knows my name in the middle.
Right.
So
nice to be recognized by the public.
Sure. Yeah, I was like, oh, they're big podcast fans. They're just
totally
getting recognized everywhere.
Right. I'm sure you get recognized anywhere you go.
But so that was cool, and getting to meet these young kids that are super talented. They're just. It's exciting to see these guys coming together on their own, and some of these like I said, that Funky Butt show, I got to watch them perform, and they did a bunch of different covers that night, and and a couple of, it was crazy how like everybody's like a shit line change in hockey,
right?
People were coming up and down,
so. It's fun. We've got a lot of talented kids, and I don't know if it's good luck or just what music inspires in people, but it seems like the kids that come here are super positive, together, respectful, and a lot of fun to work with. So we sort of like give them a little bit of like a start, be like, hey, check out this song, work on this part. You guys might fit together well on this particular tune. And then you rehearse it with them for a little while and put them on stage. And for me, at least, I'm always floored. Kids that, I'm directing rehearsals week to week when they get up for the big moment, they always bring something extra, like, hey, I did not teach that kid how to do that cool leg kick. That was all him, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So you, what is your title here?
I'm the music director.
Music director,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how long you been doing that, position?
I've been with School of Rock since we opened in the St. Louis area, which was August of 2013 here in Baldwin. And we opened with a solid crew, and I was doing, some of the, running this store and some music directing And as we grew into having Baldwin and the Kirkwood School, then I transitioned more strictly into music, mm-hmm. Which I think is a good use of my interests and experience. So that's been a lot of fun. So I get to, you know, I have some kids that I teach in lessons, I direct shows, I'm able to work with teachers and like work on booking gigs. And for me, that's all the fun stuff, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. They do like a, is a monthly showcase? Is that right?
We do periodic shows, yeah. So we just actually did a show at the Old Rock House on Sunday.
Right.
And it ran from noon to 9 at night. We did all of our spring shows. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So all of you out there in podcast land might be hearing the faint sounds of Michael Jackson versus Prince, one of our shows. They're rehearsing in our stage room while Shane and I are having this conversation. They played, they killed. And, you know, like I said, the kids always impress you more than you expect.
Yeah.
So we did that. We did Best of the 90s.
Fans are, the phones are lighting up here.
I think they know Shane's here and they want to talk to him.
Yeah,
we got it. We did Best of the 90s. We did Guns N' Roses versus Motley Crue. We did Led Zeppelin. We did the Beatles.
Sure.
Did Femme Fatale, was like Righteous Ladies in Rock and Roll. Great shows. Yeah. So it was a blast.
Yeah. It's nice, too, getting quite a diverse, variety and for the kids to learn, but the people that are coming out to these shows, you're constantly getting new material,
right.
That they can see and,
hopefully it's fun for the audiences.
Sure.
The purpose of it is a couple of things. One is to keep kids' interest, of course,
yeah.
And like, you know, if the kids we feel like are motivated to pick up their instrument, if they like want to come to School of Rock, then they're going to play that much more and they're learning that much faster, and that's the goal, and then we win, you know.
Right.
Winning for me is when the kids like get home from practice and pick their instrument right up and just get back to it.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're successful in that with most of our kids. And the other goal is to, you know, give the kids some music history, you know. So you might have a kid who's like 10 years old, you ask him what they like, and they're like, I don't know, like mom and dad listen to this, but like I haven't ever really found my own music.
Right.
And you teach them a few songs, and then like a couple of months later, you're like, hey, what's your favorite song? And they're like, it's Drain You by Nirvana, you know, or like, it's like, I don't know, I like the Deep Cuts of the Stones or whatever. The kids get savvy really fast too, so that's a blast.
Yeah. For me, like, I mean, that's how it was. Like, it was, you know, just like that, you know, I listened to a lot of what mom and dad played, but I really didn't start discovering my own stuff, like, big, you know, especially with the internet, you know, like, until... You know, right after high school and stuff, I really started going to a lot more shows and getting doing, you know, my homework online, trying to find some new bands and things, and that's where it all started. It's exciting when you get to start discovering new music on by yourself, you know, something new that really strikes a chord and stuff.
It is, and when we first opened, we were lucky to have a pretty sizable group of like cool, like right at that age where music hits you, right on the button of teenagers start, and they were all, you know, sort of finding the music. Some of them had, you know, had a thing that they were into or a style, but I remember talking to one of the other people at the school and saying like, one of these days these kids are going to show up and start talking about bands I haven't heard of, and that's going to be an exciting day, and it's already happening.
Sure.
So that's super fun where the kids come in and like, you know, get me hip to music I haven't heard of yet.
That's kind of the what the student becomes the master of,
right?
The
at some point, and you know, there's this sort of imaginary boundary that I think people who haven't played music draw in their mind, like, you're a musician, I'm not a musician, which I don't believe in at all.
Yeah.
You know, like, once you can put your finger down and play the first note, like, you can play it, and at that point we're all climbing the same mountain.
Sure.
So yeah, when kids you know, have some tricks, I'll steal them for sure.
We had Connor on the show, like I said earlier, and he he played for us. Played what was it about Bohemian Rhapsody? Mm-hmm. Like acoustic guitar. He had this real neat arrangement, but I was just floored by how talented he was, and how in the level he carries himself at, you know, especially with representing the school and everything that he had to say about the school, but it was just it's really neat to meet a young man that's, you know, really passionate about it and you know, nice, and, you know, just really believes in everything that he's a part of here, and it was refreshing, I guess, you know.
It's fun, yeah, and he's, you know, obviously a skilled player and has a lot more experience than a lot of kids his age. Yeah. But his attitude is really positive, and I feel like that's not like unusual for our kids. You know, we're lucky to have kids who like will be really good at what they do or just learning, but like all along that spectrum, they'll listen. You know, they're teachable, so you can say like, hey, you know, you're like able to do these things that a lot of other players can't do, but here's this other aspect, and the kids will listen. One of the things that I think we are able to provide kids that's useful is like real life experience too. Like all the guys I came up with and gals like got good by themselves in their room, and then even if a bunch of good players got together, that first band was terrible, you know? Yeah. And then they would go to their first gig and they would like, you know, piss off the sound guy because they'd, you know, because they don't know what they're doing or whatever. So we try to give the kids like that experience too. You know, when you go to a gig, here's how you check sound. When you meet other musicians, like that network is your social and professional environment. You know, you got to keep doors open and like not step on toes if you can avoid it, that sort of thing, so that when our kids are starting bands, and a lot of the kids who have been here for a minute have their own bands, first of all, they get together and they sound good, you know, because they've been in a band for a while, and then they go show up at gigs, and we put them on, you know, gigs outside of, you know, the official shows we do for the curriculum we teach here, and they book their own gigs, and they sound great, and people are blown away, myself included.
I can remember, like, you know, when I was, I mean, there probably was more than I was aware of, but what I remember coming up as in through middle school and high school and stuff was, you know, really the only stage you had was like a school talent show or something like that, you know. So there was a like I said, there was probably, I know there was people like doing lessons, but like I said, it was all on your own, you know, individually most of the time. And definitely something neat here to, you know, bring everybody together, like-minded, and learn together. And being, like I said, the shows, like, I mean, that's got to be huge for especially for somebody that's interested in perhaps doing this as a career, or, you know, and like, you know, or at least pursuing it. And
I think what we try to give everybody who walks in is as much as they want, you know. So I think it's perfectly valid to pick up guitar and play, you know, just for your own enjoyment, learn to strum a few chords, you know, sing a couple of songs, not practice a million hours a week, but just, you know, have fun playing music. Learning to play with a group accelerates, you know, learning and growth as a player enormously. But then, yeah, people who are motivated that want to get as far as they want, you know, we'll book them in the best rooms in town. We just played the Old Rock House.
Yeah.
We're doing our best of season on the 31st of May at the pageant. That's going to be fun.
Oh,
yeah, raising funds for Play It Forward, a great St. Louis music charity, and the Rock School Scholarship Fund.
Actually, I messed up my own plug at the beginning of the show. Play It Forward will also be at our acoustic brunch, and
cool.
So yeah,
oh, excellent.
We've had Samantha Fisher on the show, and we believe in the charity, and then and what she's doing with the message.
Completely.
And it's not always music and comedy on our show. We try to do our anybody that's interesting that's got some fun stuff to talk about. But yeah, she we had her on, and the Play Forward agreed. She said she would love to make the donation site. So
oh, cool.
So anybody want to bring an instrument, feel free to bring it June 7th, and you can donate it there.
Very cool.
But yeah, that's cool that you guys are partnered up as well. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool to see a lot of those people doing that stuff. You know, just working together and building St. Louis as a community and stuff.
Completely. Yeah, we think of the schools as a community for the kids. We try to tie them in with the grown-up players in town. You know, our teachers are active in the community, and then we'll bring in folks. You mentioned John Pisoni. We've had their guest artists come in. So our kids, when they get to the age where mom and dad will take them out to shows, we'll go out to shows and look up on stage and be like, hey, I know that guy. Yeah. And then, they end up hanging out, shaking hands with people that they've met in clinics and stuff. And hopefully that, in my mind, that enriches all the sides of the St. Louis music community, too.
Yeah.
You've got kids that are interested in going to see shows. They'll, come see my band, or Al Holiday, another teacher, or Chan, a teacher from here. They'll go check out their teacher's shows. They get to know the different places that you can play through those bands, through the places we book them. And at a young age, they are way more savvy than I was when I was their age, sitting at home just thinking, I wonder what it would be like to play a show. I can picture it now,
I think it's, that's what's kind of crazy with just everything with modern technology, how fast... or convenience or whatever. It's one of those. It's just like, man, where was this when we were coming?
Yeah, no kidding.
You kind of think about. It's fun to imagine, but at least to where you might be if you would have these opportunities and that kind of stuff. It's fun to think about sometimes.
It is. It's amazing. And the things that are at your fingertips now, I'm not going to shed any light on the what those are, because everybody knows.
Right.
I came up in the grunge era playing guitar, and I couldn't get on YouTube and learn every song on a video tutorial.
Sure.
I had a great guitar teacher though. And we would sit up, on sleepovers and try to figure out what Eddie Vedder was mumbling, because you couldn't just go to A to Z lyrics and look at it, even though they were wrong. So that, you'd spend 2 hours on some B-side of a Pearl Jam song, I don't regret having those experiences.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.
As much as it's nice to have these luxuries and conveniences, I think, even just with our phones and things, having how much information we can access on our phone instantly.
Right.
I think there's going to be a time though when everybody's going to get burned out on that. And then how vinyl is making a huge comeback of recent years and stuff like that. We went through tape and 8-track and CDs and everything and MP3. And then now we're going back to the beginning.
Right.
So it's kind of funny how things do go full circle a little bit, but it's just, I think there's going to be a little bit of that. I mean, there's always obviously going to be plenty of room for technology, but I think there's always going to be those people that are kind of rather go back to the simple life. And
I think so too, and I think those things go in waves, don't they? Although, as you were talking about vinyl and then talking about phones, for some reason I pictured kids pulling out those enormous 80s. Had to have a backpack to carry it around, the first cell phones. They just sound so warm, The audio quality. That's funny. I don't know. I mean, the social media is fun for us because, we have an Instagram account where we can put up pictures, and it seems like the kids that go here at least use that a lot more than Facebook, so I think it's fun for them. Maybe they use Facebook. They might, like the page. Mm-hmm. We don't connect with them on Facebook, the staff, just because that's a good place to, for grown-ups and kids, I feel like, to, not be in the mix. Yeah. They can see us plenty here.
Sure.
But Instagram, they connect with the school's account. And it's fun because they can see pictures of themselves from the gigs and stuff. So yeah, it's fun to have that extra, loop in the communication for sure.
You guys, anybody wants a follower? You said Facebook. Is there? There's Separate pages, right?
There's a Ballin and a Kirkwood page, and then there's an umbrella School of Rock St. Louis.
Okay.
And that's, you know, everything goes to School of Rock St. Louis,
right.
And then sometimes we'll, like, push it down to the individual schools.
Okay.
So there's that. School of Rock STL is the Instagram, and we've always got stuff, you know, going on.
Yeah.
And it's fun to, you know, I'll maybe go, like, introduce a band and then run down in front of the stage and sit there and snap concert photos,
sure.
You know, and then, like, wake up the next day after a long day of gigs with the kids and, like, pick a couple of photos, put a filter on them, throw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I tried to do that myself. Like, I tried to take some pictures at the shows and a little bit of video, but try not to be that guy that's just, like, on his phone the whole time at a show.
Like, right.
Let's try to enjoy the moment of being there and,
right.
And the whole live aspect of the show.
Completely.
But, yeah, we're kind of at that point in time where people just want to sit there and record the whole show from their phone. And
right.
It's like, but you're totally missing the whole point of coming out to the show. Like,
yeah. You know, it's funny. I had that moment, not with a phone. This was way before where I had, you know, a kind of nice 35mm camera. This is in the 90s,
yeah.
And I went and saw, it was Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter on this duo tour they did. It was like, you know, spare, kind of abstract, you know, duet jazz.
Yeah.
And I just sat there, I got like right up against the fence at this festival and spent the whole show snapping pictures, which I don't regret doing, but I got to the end of it and it was like, you know what? I cannot tell you what they played,
right.
You know? And that was just a moment for me to think, like, you know what I should do if I'm here for the music, you know,
yes.
Going to a show and taking pictures is completely valid, and I love good concert photography, but,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me sometimes putting it all down and just existing in real time
sure.
has its value.
I remember I was at, like, I think it was like one of the Monster Mayhem Festival or whatever, one of the, you know, big rock summer
yeah.
And then Rob Zombie was up there and he there, I guess there's people, imagine him up in the front recording the show on their phone, and he kind of like stops the show and like yells at him, and he's like, you know, there's a lot of videos of this show on YouTube, you can go, you know, we don't need another one, like
right.
go watch those if you want to watch the show from your phone, but
right.
You know, you're right here, enjoy this moment. And
I
thought that it was cool that, you know, he's not afraid to speak his mind, but most of the people just keep going on, but it was funny that he called him out on it,
right.
And stuff. But,
that's funny. I've seen that happen. I've also seen where an artist will take the, like, fan's phone and, like, shoot the whole band from the stage and
yeah.
stuff. That's pretty cool.
Sure.
That's fun to see, you know, performers engage with the audience like that.
Yeah. I think it was... I've never seen it personally live. I might next week, I don't know, but Nick Thune, he's a comic I like, and he was telling a story about going to see Father John Misty that he
mm-hmm.
likes, and apparently at his live show, like, he lowered this, like, iPhone, like, screen around him.
Okay.
And so, like, that was, like, his stage prop. Like, he played behind the iPhone.
Yeah.
And, like... So, like, if this is what you guys want to see, listen, you know, I'll give you
oh,
that.
That's amazing.
So,
that's completely something he would do. And he, I really like his music.
Yeah.
And the music itself has this sort of, like, sincere Americana, maybe a little gospel-y vibe
sure.
to it. But then his lyrics are also, like, cutting and insightful
okay.
and, like, tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, it's a great combination.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing him next week opening for Alabama Shakes.
Oh, cool. Man,
so,
that'll be great.
Yeah. Well, and the best part is I got free tickets. So
hey.
One of the...
That's the podcast payola.
Yeah,
is that what that
yeah,
is?
Right. I've been hustling, you know, let alone doing this show, but I also have been... I joined the Pageant Street team.
Oh, cool.
And they're partnered up in that show, so I've been...
Nice.
That's how I was able to get tickets. And
But,
yeah, I've been... So I spend my time on the weekends hanging flyers and doing stuff for them to...
Nice.
...earn more free tickets. And so, yeah, just another thing in my, you know, kind of notching the belt, trying to... just so I can do all this various forms of networking, you know. That's,
right.
That's the way I look at this show. Rather than, you know... It's just one I like to kind of showcase St. Louis, you know, the best I can. And but really, it's just fun to meet, you know, cool people all around town that, you know, are like-minded and have, you know, a lot of similar interest, and it's easy to talk with them. And
right.
But just it's fun meeting new people. That
completely.
So, yeah.
Well, St. Louis is a good town, yeah.
Sure, yeah. That's, I mean, this is really the, you know, this is the longest we've talked. I've seen you around several times at various right. shows. I know you used to play with John Henry, and, mm-hmm. and I see, or I guess you guys still...
Yeah, he books, you know, yeah, not sure. not super often,
yeah.
But I'll play bass for him, yeah, yeah. When he needs me, for sure. It's a good time.
But, yeah, so I mean, I used to see John play quite often, and... Mm-hmm. And then, but you were saying too, you play now, you're also in the street fighting band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Stones tribute. We yeah. do like a couple of shows a year. It's always a blast. We have the horn section and some great female voices in the band. So, yeah. In addition to, you know, some good friends on the instruments that I'm used to playing with, adding horns and mm-hmm. some extra voices. I'll pretty much always sign up for that gig.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, those elements add a lot. So,
yeah.
That's a blast. And we're doing the Street Fighting Band show May 29th at the Old Rock House on their outdoor setup. So that'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, Old Rock House, it's a cool place too. Yeah. So
it's great.
It's a great venue.
It was a great spot for the School of Rock show on yeah. Sunday. Since we were going all day, you know, it was just comfortable and... You know, families that wanted to hang for longer than just their kids' show had a place to, like, sit and grab some food and oh, stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, it was
they
a good
got,
time.
They got good food, too. Good barbecue. And,
yeah.
I was there one night. It was, I'm probably mess up the dates, but anyway. It was when Cardinals were in the World Series.
There. Okay.
And it was...
Not my area of expertise.
Well, yeah, me I love them, and I watch when I can, but
sure.
I don't, I'm not big on any sports. My music's taken over my life. From,
I appreciate when the Cardinals win,
yeah.
and I think for musicians in town, the
sure.
only time it gets a little complicated is in October,
yeah.
when it's like, if the Cardinals win,
yeah.
your gig tomorrow is going to be canceled,
yeah.
you know?
Sure, yeah.
So that cuts both ways, but all you out there in St. Louis, go Cardinals.
Yeah, right, yeah. yeah, it does great for the city, but yeah, it kind of... Kind of kills the arts in October because they're always playing, and it's a, but yeah, it's a.
It's fun though.
Sure.
I'll go cheer for sure.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Well, so anyway, I was at this show at Old Rock House, and I believe it was Game 5, and when, like, David Freese hits like the game-winning home run or some along those lines.
Right.
So anyway, but it was just one. It was exciting. It was, you know,
totally.
Just to be, you know, in that atmosphere, a block from the ballpark.
Yeah.
But I was there to see Lucas Nelson, and yeah, obviously he was not going to try to compete with the Cardinal game, and
right.
So they dropped that screen in the back and they put the game up on there. So we're all sitting there watching the game, you know, right next
right.
door. And then as soon as the game was over, Lucas came and took the stage and rocked it, and it was just it was really a neat night, just to be, like I said, that energy, just
oh, yeah,
to be
totally.
Being in the city when the game, when they win that big game like that.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it's always fun, and you know, you high five somebody you wouldn't have high fived
yeah.
otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
like,
yeah.
Those people, like a table over where social, you know, conventions would say, like, you don't make eye contact with the people at
yeah.
different tables. You know,
yeah.
everybody high fives.
Oh yeah,
that's a good time.
Yeah. So you you guys play other spots? I mean, is there there's a what is I don't know, I forget now. But anyway, but so we Old Rock House, and you got the pageant show coming
mm-hmm.
up. But
yeah, for the School of Rock kids.
Yeah, whatever.
We've played the Ready Room. We've done the Firebird. We've played off Broadway. We played Plush
okay.
before it sadly closed. That
yeah.
was a great room.
Oh yeah.
We have a local touring group of our more advanced kids that plays almost every weekend through the summer.
Nice.
There are sort of like city ambassadors. We're playing like the Ballman Days Festival. We're playing Rip Fest this weekend.
Yeah.
We've got a gig at the Atomic Cowboy with some other schools of rock that are coming through on tour. Hmm. So that's fun. We're taking some kids on tour at the end of June. We're going to play St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, and two dates at Milwaukee Summerfest.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So for kids who are into it and want to spend a lot of their time doing this, the sky's the limit. We'll literally like put you on a tour bus and go play some gigs.
Yeah.
For kids that just want to like learn to jam a little bit, that's cool too.
And now is that like, just like a baseball team or whatever, where they do fundraising, I guess, for that kind of stuff? Or like
we have done some fundraising for the tour. Yeah.
That stuff don't come cheap, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, getting the right numbers of kids to make it affordable, basically. Yeah, but it's a lot of fun, too, and there's really nothing quite like it, because when we're at Summerfest, one of the cool things about School of Rock is that the St. Louis schools aren't the only ones. There are schools all over the country, as well as, like, Australia and Mexico and, globally. So when we get to Milwaukee, there will be bands from 60 other schools of rock.
Wow.
The kids all stay in the Marquette dorms, well-supervised, of course, up there in Milwaukee, and make friends with kids from all over the country, potentially globally. And if any of those kids are serious about music, which I honestly don't recommend making a career out of music. get a fallback degree, kids.
Yeah.
But, if those kids, like, get out of high school or into college and they want to go take a tour, they've got those phone numbers, you know what I mean? They can call a kid in Toronto and a kid in, Buffalo or whatever, and West LA and all points in between, and say, like, hey, we met at Summerfest a couple of years ago. Like, let's do a show together.
Yeah. No,
so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that's a pretty incredible opportunity too.
It's a blast. Yeah. It's fun to watch, and even as the person who spends like that whole 5 or 6 days herding teenagers from place to place, which they're all good kids and not difficult, but getting a group of people to do anything at the same time that you don't rehearse for 3 hours a week is a challenge.
Yeah.
So the songs, off without a hitch, and moving from point A to point B, also off without a hitch, just a little bit, more of like, hey, let's all go over here.
Now, with the two branches, are they like identical
the curriculum is pretty much the same. Like the Kirkwood School will have different themes for their shows than Ballin. Mm-hmm. The layout of the schools is a little bit different just based on the physical building. So they're almost exactly the same size. Kirkwood is a ground floor and a basement. Ballin's all just sort of on one level. We share some staff.
Yeah.
We book some gigs together like we did at the old Rock House and the Pageant. Those will be both schools. Just like the tour stuff, it's fun to take the kids from both schools, whether they're like in the beginner group or, trying to play like really serious music. When they meet each other, they're all like, wow, this is my doppelganger from 10 miles down Manchester or whatever. That's a lot of fun.
And how early do you start them here?
Five is about the youngest, yeah. And it's kid by kid, because between 5 and 7 is really when kids start to develop the sort of like memory and attention span week to week.
Oh, yeah.
So we have some classes that are just sort of general musicianship and motor skills for kids that are 5 to 7. And then right around 6 or 7, depending on when the kids are motivated and the parents want it, is when like one-on-one lessons and then some more organized band stuff makes sense.
Yeah, I work part-time for the YMCA, Ref and Sports, and like and they start like we do these like rookies classes for those kids, like basketball, soccer, and t-ball.
Nice.
And they start like at 3 and 4.
Oh wow!
And it's one of the cutest things you'll ever
see.
Seeing 3 and 4 year olds weren't trying to play.
Right.
It's so challenging sometimes to, we do another, level up to 5 and 5-year-olds and stuff, but like it can be quite challenging trying to get them to all focus and try to listen to you and right. try to learn something new about, you know, it's just because right. they just want to run around and
yeah.
you know, play with their friends and stuff. So
completely, yeah. At that age, the ways that you can, you know, teach music are through doing things,
yeah.
not as much like sitting them down and having them look at 5-line staff yeah. with dots on it, you know. But it's like, hey, let's all play this rhythm together with drumsticks on the floor. You know, let's all listen to this song and we'll all sing the chorus together.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. And it's good for brain development. And the kids that do that, just anecdotally, we've had a number of parents come back from having their kids in those younger classes and mm-hmm. say, like, they do really well in music class. And it's just because they're familiar with the concepts and the just, like, doing things at the right time, the understanding, like, basic rhythms or whatever it is, finding notes on a piano.
Yeah,
yeah, it gives you a head start.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it's, I don't know, obviously I don't have the stats, but I guess there's a lot of study that backs up that
yeah.
you know, music and will help you learn even beyond music, but learning your being able to study better for your other classes and things
completely,
too.
Completely, yeah. The science is not not controversial in that regard.
Yeah.
As far as just getting the various areas of your brain to coordinate,
mm-hmm.
If you're reading and playing music, and we, you know, use any method that works for, you know, each student to get them playing. Playing is really our goal. So some kids, it's tablature for guitar. You know, most people I think in blog land will know what that is.
Yeah.
Or like written drum music. For some kids, it's like watching it and playing it back, or hearing it and playing it back. But eventually, at some point, we'll introduce, you know, the page. And then if you're reading music and playing it, you're using like visual cortex, auditory cortex, motor skills, reasoning center,
right.
you know, language center of the brain, because you're looking at this like stuff written on the page. So yeah, it's powerlifting for your smarts, man.
Yeah. yeah. I've told the story before to Funky Butt whenever they were on the show, the horn section, and but I don't know, like I have this, you know, as I've gotten older, this big passion for music. But it's like when I was younger, I remember I guess a sixth grade we were given band as a option for class, and
right.
and I remember taking signed up for a cornet, and I went and tried out for the band playing cornet and stuff, and then like it didn't go very well at all. No natural gift for it, and
maybe it wasn't your instrument.
Yeah.
I was terrible at the clarinet, but
yeah.
that's because I just like it's a great instrument. I love the sound of it.
Right.
Excuse me, I could get the sound of it, but having a piece of wood buzzing
yeah.
against my teeth was just a nightmare for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I end up. Teacher was like, either you're gonna have to practice, you know, a lot more, or you can go back to gym. And I'm like, all right, I'll see you later. And like,
right.
So, because I was being as big as I was, I excelled more in basketball and football and sport
sure,
and stuff. So
sure.
gym class was. Was my go-to for that was good for me, but it was just kind of.
I kind of like I hate that story.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I mean, yeah,
just because
it's not exactly a great message, but
I feel like it's bad on your band director.
Sure.
You
yeah.
know,
oh yeah, that's what they said too. They were like, "You just had a bad teacher," and I'm like, "Well,
yeah,
yeah.
completely." And I don't feel like there are no like skill level barriers to enjoying playing music.
Yeah.
You know, we can take a beginner and teach them like. Just the bottom note of the chord on guitar
yeah.
and have them play with the band. And even if they're not nailing it, you know, like they're practicing it and
yeah.
they don't feel like they suck and no one's going to tell them like, you didn't practice enough. You're not good enough for this. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, connect with the instrument, enjoy playing it at
sure.
whatever level, and then you'll play it more.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
For me, I think a lot of it was like, I just, I don't know, like, I just don't feel like I ever have that natural drive to want to play, you know, like to pick up an instrument. Like it was, I went and did it because a bunch of my buddies were doing it,
sure.
that kind of thing at the time.
Yeah.
But it was like, but even now, like I'm, you know, I hang around and everybody just kind of thinks that I play or that, you know, I kind of get lumped in there. I'm like, oh, I'm just appreciated, you know, and it's like, yeah. But I kind of think like too, that we all have our purpose, I guess, you know, we, as much as there's gotta be all these musicians, there's gotta be fans too. And right. there's gotta be people out there that are doing a podcast or whatever it is to, you know, spread the word. But, right. Yeah, because that's a, like, you know, maybe, and I feel like we all have to work together. And, you know, it's like whether, because maybe you're a really great musician, but you're not always the best at promoting it or whatever it is. And
I think the two are almost always mutually exclusive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It's true. And there was a joke that people, that universities have music schools so that they can produce people that will eventually purchase jazz records.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you guys got some big summer plans coming up, and then how do we get, if somebody is hearing all this and they want to get their kid more involved, would you just come up to here and sign up, or
yeah, they can, you know, come to a show, they can call either of the schools, you know, we're here Monday through Thursday afternoons into the evening and Saturday days, and you're welcome to just swing by and say, mm-hmm. hey, tour the space. It's fun to be here.
Sure.
We put some effort into like making it look cool and feel cool because I think it makes a difference for kids.
Led Zeppelin poster here.
We've actually got a Ween poster in the office. Sonic Youth, Mars Volta, Ween, and Boris.
Yeah.
it's a little left of the dial, but I dig it. So we'll do like a free trial lesson. Your kids can hang out in a rehearsal and just see what it's like. For a kid that wants to play music at some level, you know, whether they're just dabbling or they're serious about it, their best chance of having fun is doing something like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, come by and say hey and check us out. It's a good time.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I don't know.
Cool.
You got anything else you want to?
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah.
It's always nice to meet somebody and spend some time who's, like, putting some effort into trying to connect the dots.
Sure.
In St. Louis. You know, there's a lot of great things happening around the area in all the arts. And
Yeah, it's exciting, man. There's really, all this started out of, I started writing a blog, album review stuff. Kind of got burned out on writing, and I thought I'd just talk about it.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, it kind of got to the point where I was, like, just sick of everybody saying there's nothing to do in town. You know, there's nothing.
Right.
I'm like, there's so much going on
totally.
In this town. You know, it's like, it took me, I mean, like I said, when I was younger, I didn't have any older brother or sister or, you know, cousins. I have older cousins, but I was kind of that age gap where I was, you know, wasn't quite, you know, couldn't hang with them. I was too young kind of thing.
Yeah,
I was like, so there was kind of that gap there. But once I, you know, started getting older and I started discovering a lot of this on my own, you know, all these venues and bands and this, you know, great local talent. And like I said, it's fun to kind of go out and discover something new, whether it's a venue or a band. And like, yeah, it's fun for me. Like I've said before, Funky Butt Brass and stuff, like they're one of my favorite bands. And it's like, it's so much fun to have your favorite band in your hometown that you can see a couple times a month or whatever it is. And it's like, it's just, and being able to you know, be up like right up close, you know, not like at Verizon sitting out in the back of the grass and, but the intimate show like that, and then being able to hang with them afterwards and, you know, shake their hand and talk. And it's just like, that's what I'm about, more the connection to it.
Right. It's cool.
And that's kind of what makes me sick about some of the stuff at, like at Verizon, how, like, those people will spend, you know, hundreds of dollars to go to those shows but you can't get them to come out to, like, a $5 show or whatever. So that's frustrating for me, but I imagine for anybody that's playing music, too, so.
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
I guess I totally relate to that, and I've felt that, too. But then you think, like, if that's what makes, like, this person happy, you know, if they're connected to this particular band that's a name and they want to go, like, watch that show, I don't have anything against that.
I don't think there's really, like, against that particular act, but it's the fact that I think for me, what I look at it is like I want to educate them that there's so much more than just these shows. Like people think like a concert is just going to Verizon and 12 times the 12 shows or 20 shows they do a summer.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, hey, this is my concert, my summer concert's coming up, you know.
Right.
But it's like, you know, there's so many great shows all year round. There's, you know, like we've said, you know, the Pageant and Old Rock House and Off Broadway. They're all great venues doing, you know, excellent shows. And that's what's, for me, especially being plugged in, like seeing bands come through and you watch them at Old Rock House. And then the next time they're at the Pageant, then they're playing Verizon. That's what bothers me, too, is it's like you want to tell people about these great bands, but then it's like you hate when they blow up and things take off for them, and it's like, you know, you lose that connection.
Yeah, inaccessible. Yeah, I do appreciate you know, the music of Pokey Lafarge, and I think it's cool of him, as successful as they've been, that he's still playing the off-Broadway shows.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm cool.
Staying true to Steve and those guys. I will say anecdotally on the like going to the big show and not checking out the local stuff. A friend who plays a tribute gig was, you know, finished the show, was walking out, and somebody, you know, shook his hand. I was like, man, that was so great. Like, I wish we had local bands that did stuff like this. And he responds like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm in a band. We play original music. You should come see us. And the guy's like, no. I mean, stuff like this.
Yeah.
Just one of those, like, sometimes there's that disconnect.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, the same, like people want to come out and like watch a live, like, you know, set of a band that they know. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against it.
People do like to sing along, I think. That's
totally.
They want to know, they want to hear the hits. They want to know the, you know, the songs they know. They've been hearing on the radio, the familiar, you know, the something that's familiar to them. And,
totally.
But, I don't know. I get so burned out on, you know, top 40 stuff and like being told what's cool, what's good to listen to right now and stuff. And it's like, I like to be kind of ahead of the curve and discovering the stuff before the radio does. And
totally.
So I'm hoping to do that with this show. Like everybody that's been on here, like I really believe in their talent, and it's just a matter of time, I think, before big things happen for these people. So
cool. I think so too.
Yeah. And hey, but thanks for hanging out.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. It was a good time.
And then I'll tag all the links and stuff, and
cool.
then, so people can find where to go and where to see the kids play this summer. And,
cool.
Well, episode 70. That's a wrap. Thank you very much, Jordan, for hanging out, man.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you next time.
Cool.